Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, September 30th, 2020.
Bitcoin's up just under 1% to 10,831. ETH is up about 1% as well to 360, both doing well.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right, let's start today with the Shanghai Stock Exchange, one of the biggest exchanges in China. They'll conduct a pilot for a new blockchain-powered trading platform.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a cool story just because it's always fun to see exchanges doing new groundbreaking work. You've heard there have been different attempts at doing some stuff like this. You haven't really seen the big exchanges in America pick up on this. You've seen some of the financial institutions and investment banks and things like that do some stuff around exploring this. So this is the first time that I had seen a major stock exchange admit to doing this. You know, the stuff is all related. At the end of the day, if you're a stock exchange and people are out there trading peer-to-peer through an enormous decentralized network, you've got to be scared pretty royally scared about that. So all these guys are trying to keep up. I'm always impressed with China. At the end of the day, you know, I think there's two sides. You know, they're pushing hard on the yuan and their CBDC, the central bank digital currency. They're pushing hard on blockchain in general. I think that they tend to push hard on new technologies. And while the US is still arguing about, you know, the legality, you know, one of the stories we're not talking about today is that the SEC came out with another ruling against Kin, and, you know, it's just against that's the Kick token. It's just, you know, the US is doing a lot to fight against, is sort of knee jerk against a lot of this new finance DeFi stuff, because there's a lot of rent seeking, and it's good to see from the major institutions, and it's good to see different countries pushing the boundaries on this. So that's the story here, I think.
Okay, great. All right, next, Coinbase offers severance packages to the employees who are unsatisfied with their apolitical mission. This is after Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong posted a letter about them being apolitical, and he sent a follow-up saying that the employees needed to either get in line with the new company culture or accept this severance package. Yeah,
get out if you don't like it. You know, there's a couple parts here. One is that I think is particularly funny. Let's break this down to a few parts. One is, being a crypto company is already making a political statement. Like, you don't have to. There's not layers here. I mean, if you have gone out and created a political company, and especially like with Coinbase, where, you know, they obviously KYC and do all that kind of stuff, but they support staking. They support a lot of mechanisms that are probably right on the edge of what really falls under, you know, really is legal under U.S. security law. They are already taking a very firm pro-libertarian, quasi-crypto-anarchist kind of stand. So, you know, I think it's already a little bit silly. What he's really saying here is that they're refusing to take a progressive political stance. And you know, the undertones that I read here, there's two kind of parts of this as you dive into it. One is obviously crypto is a political thing, a beast, so you can't get into it. You know, they are looking to IPO, and with the current political climate in the US, you can't, you know, if you're looking to IPO, there's a lot of political pressure on the SEC and on different political entities if you are taking progressive stances, so stances that are contrary to the current administration. So there's that part which you're like, okay, you know, fine, that makes sense. The bad part of that is that, you know, their offices are in New York and San Francisco. That's not really great. You know, the two places in the world where people are aggressively political. And, you know, the undertones here, it's not like the employees were asking him to pick Trump or Biden. You know, a lot of the, especially in America, this is getting away from crypto a little bit, but I mean, the things that companies are being asked to do these days is speak out in favor of diversity and speak out about Black Lives Matter and the different those different political movements. I would say it's a really tough position to be in, to be in San Francisco trying to hire the best engineers. And you know, no, like you have to hire incredibly good engineers to work on crypto tech. This stuff is cutting edge and is really tough. Those engineers tend to be progressive. They tend to be, you know, I don't know, you wouldn't say it across the board, but certainly in San Francisco and New York, you're going to see that. So I think that there's an aspect of this which kind of works. You know, what probably is you're seeing here is that, you know, I think that Armstrong's leanings are leaking a bit into their into the company. I think he doesn't want Coinbase to take on, I mean, you can barely even call, like, encouraging diversity in businesses is barely something you could call a progressive stance, but he's really wants to draw a line and just not take anything like that on and not tempt the Trump administration to, you know, deny their IPO. I almost said ICO. That's not right. Their IPO and give them trouble. So I don't know. I think this is a real questionable decision. I think he probably should have just not said anything. You know, no matter how much pressure you gain from your employees, you could always just not say anything and it's totally fine. And then doubling down on it is going to piss people off. And, you know, Coinbase also does a lot of investment. They do a lot of acquisitions. It is, it makes it harder for people who are going to get acquired by them, people who are looking to take investment from them, people who are going to invest in them, you know, to, if you are actively saying that you don't believe in diversity in your workplace, I don't know. So this seems like it was kind of a weird call on his part.
All right. Well, I agree. Okay, next story. Ethereum 2.0 latest testnet 90% successful.
Yeah, this is a mixed bag. Some people report this as 90% successful. Some people reported this as, oh my God, only 90% successful. Realistically speaking, there's right now, Ethereum 2.0 is on the horizon. October, November, sometime in that time range, we're going to see it. It is super exciting. It is, you know, the two big features around Ethereum 2.0 are one, moving to proof of stake, and second, which is moving to sharded Ethereum chains with the goal of eventually being able to have kind of this notion of scalability of Ethereum through sharding for transaction resiliency throughput. So both of those things went really well. They didn't see any major issues. They obviously, you know, you're going to have bugs when you go live. They did not see the participation that they were expecting. So that's part of the issue here is there's not real money on the line and there's not real money to be made. So you're asking people to spend a lot of hosting dollars to run these nodes and a lot of engineer time to get them all running. And, you know, that's something that obviously aren't going to not everyone's going to put time and money towards. So, but still, this is generally good news. I think that the people who are sort of deeply involved have all come out and said that they were happy with the results. They found some bugs. That's what you do these things for. You want people to find bugs. And I think it seems like we're still looking good for a you know, November-ish launch of this, which is super exciting for all of us in DeFi. We should really, really, really want Ethereum 2.0 to be coming out as soon as possible.
Okay, great. Well, speaking of that, of DeFi, so several articles, it seems like everyone, CoinDesk, Cointelegraph, have been running these DeFi is here to stay is the high level theme. I feel like a couple of weeks ago, it was DeFi is a bubble about to burst. And now just a series of DeFi is here to stay.
Yeah, things can be two things. It can both be a bubble and it can be here to stay. So, I mean, that's crypto has been a bubble for years and years and years, and it's here to stay. And it's a bubble and it's here to stay all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is your take, Pat?
Both things are true. There's definitely a DeFi bubble. I think yesterday's story on the project EMI that raised $15 million on just a smart contract that someone found on the internet and then had it all stolen is if that's not bubble-licious, I'm not sure what is. But at the same time, obviously this is here to stay. I mean, there's absolutely no chance that decentralized exchanges and decentralized, like all of the instruments we're talking about are here to stay. There's just the pace, what's been so cool about DeFi over the last few weeks now has been, or months, I guess, the pace of innovation. I mean, it has been spectacular. And you sure as hell don't see, you know, Bank of America giving me token rewards or even sort of like anywhere close to greater than 1% APY on my investment. And that's, you know, this innovation is here to stay. So yeah, I mean, definitely DeFi around for the long term, even if it ends up being more like the Shanghai Stock Exchange than it ends up being SushiSwap. There's a little bit of bubble going on right now. That's okay. Bubbles are fun.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. You can check us out on Twitter at the DeFi Daily, where we tweet out all the stories we reference in the show. Have a good one.
Have a good one. Bye.